Thank you to Simon and the band for leading us so well this morning. Thank you for each one of you who contributed to adding flavor and spice in the presence of God to our time together. If you're visiting with us, we are working our way through a series, and it's based on a book called Relational Mission, A Way of Life, and looking at some very key elements of what it means to be a biblical apostolic church that's on a mission together. Not on our own little quest out to conquer the world, but on a mission together. And something that should be making up the very DNA of who we are as a church, and therefore that means something we are as a people, and we are as individuals as well. I think sometimes, and I do this as well, I think about the church as an exciting entity that's kind of there to look at, and I forget that actually I'm right in the middle of it. And it isn't something for that to do. It's something for me to be. And I hope that this morning and through this series, that that's where our heart cry really is. What does this not necessarily mean for that, but what does that mean for me? And then that becomes us, and then we see the kingdom of God advancing, because that's his purpose. My talk today, if it's there, Ben, are you ready to go? Way, I'm going to see if this is working. Oh, not that one yet. There's Vlada. Believe it or not, I spoke to Vlada. I saw his face this morning by accident. I'll come to that in a bit. But how do you see Vlada's face by accident? You'll love that little story. But we will come to that in a moment. And my topic this morning is starting new families. Now, I'm going to give you a confession to begin with, and Simon will cringe at this. In that when I was looking through the series, the preachers and the topics ahead, some weeks ago now, I thought, starting new families, what in the world does that mean? My mind went all over the place and to a lot of wrong places. And this is what will make Simon cringe. I forgot that we were doing this series. So out of context, that topic, starting new families, made no sense to me whatsoever. So an email goes off to Simon saying, Simon, I don't know what this means. Can you help me? Of which he sends me this very long, very helpful precy and reminding me that this is what we were doing. I felt about this big as I was part of the choosing of this series as well. But there we go. I then got to the point of starting to read through the chapter and thinking, well, why is this here? It's not going in the right order. What is he doing? But God knows best, and here we are this morning. I want to start with a scripture. Good place to start. And it's Matthew 28, 16 to 28. And I'm sure you are very familiar with it. If not, then just have a read along with me. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Notice they're going where Jesus told them to go. They're on a mission. They're on his mission. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I love the honesty of the Bible. And when they saw him, they worshipped, and some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Think about the impact of that statement. Not some, not a little bit, not just enough to get by on, but all authority. And it's on that basis, and that basis alone, that everything that follows has its impact for us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. He starts talking about all of his authority, and the next word is go. It is go. Starting new families. What am I talking about this morning? I'm really talking about church planting and saying the gospel. This message of Jesus spread across this land and across the world. Hope you can read that, but if you can't, I will read it out. This must be the heartbeat of being a Christian. A deep desire to see people saved and added. But added to what? To strong, vibrant, spirit-filled local churches who have an inward conviction of family and an outward intention of expansion. See, we have an inward intention of being family. And when I read this and I look, and actually the biggest thing on the front of here, it says relational mission. To me, that's family. Relating together. Last weekend, I had the greatest, great joy of seeing my daughter get married in this building, right there, saying her vows. We're down one scheidel. There are very few in the UK. There are very few in the world. Some of you might say hurrah. There's one less. But I said to Chris yesterday, do you realize we gained something last weekend that we've never had before? A son-in-law. Now, I'm hoping that will be good. See, Mum here, Chris's mum, has had to put up with three of us. Three son-in-laws. And that can be a great blessing. It can be a challenge as well. But relationship makes family. And that's what we are. We're not just part of an organization. We're not part of a group who just casually have some connection. We're part of a relational family who are on a mission together. That's why it doesn't say relational people or relating individuals. It says relational mission. And that's what we must be about. And I love the fact that Mike Betts says, I'll get on to that, but intentional. That word came to me before I began to read this. And as I began to read through what Mike had written, Mike Betts, who oversees relational mission, the group of churches that we are on a mission together with, he uses that word at least twice in this chapter. But we're an intentional church, relational. We're working together. We're seeking the greatest things that God has for us. And we are relational on every level, upward, inward, and outward. Evangelism is not God's plan as an isolated strategy. His plan is church making a difference, changing communities, challenging society, and championing truth. That's what church is about. That's why we gather together. That's our purpose and our desire. Our 2020 vision, which is reach, restore, and release, is based on this. But the challenge is not for us to be parochial, not looking for it just being bigger and better here, but to be biblical and realizing the biggest word in the Matthew scripture is actually the smallest. Go. That is the big, smallest word, but it is the biggest word in there. It was a command word. It was not a suggestion. It was not a nice idea. It was not an afterthought. It was the first thought. I've got all authority. Wow, what's he going to do? You think about it. I've got all authority in heaven and earth. What is the next thing he's going to say after that? Go. And guess who he was talking to? To you and to me. This is where you start to feel uncomfortable. This is where creature comforts, being safe, just being part of that local group that makes me feel good once a week, begins to be rattled. And if the main reason that you come along to church is because you like it, it makes you feel good, and you get something out of it, I'm sorry, but you haven't really understood biblical church. Now, those things are good. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's good to come along. I'm not saying it's good to feel good. I'm not saying it's not good to get something out of it. But church was never designed to be cozy and comfortable. It was designed as a war machine. It was designed as something to impact and change the world. And we'll look at some scriptures that back that up in a few moments. We've talked about being intentional. I wonder how intentional we actually are. I'm just reading up there because I forgot to put the PowerPoint on my iPad and my eyes aren't good enough for back there. Mike Betts in his book writes, every church should have an ongoing, vibrant, proactive commitment to church planting. Shall I read that again? Every church, guess what? He's talking to us. Should have an ongoing, vibrant, proactive commitment to church planting. Hands-on, not just sending money and people and praying, wonderful as these are, but asking, how can we help? He goes on to say, I believe every Christian should feel a passion for church planting and have some way for supporting or being actively involved. The church, and even the gospel, will not advance in the... Oh, I've left out a bit. In the what it should without an intentional church planting program. We'll get that sorted. But you get the hint of it. You should. We need an intentional, notice that word, intentional, church planting program. You know, there was a time when I first became involved in New Frontiers many, many years ago. And you may say that I'm sad, but it was because of New Frontiers that I moved to England. I went to Bible college. I'm one of the few who actually has a degree in theology. If you want to go, ooh, I've got a first-class honors degree in theology. I graduated with the highest marks in my year. Ooh! And it equipped... I love you too. And it has helped to a degree. But one of the things that happened at that college was it was a good evangelical, solid Canadian college. It struggled with the things of the Spirit. In the 3 years that I was there, we had one message in tongues and one interpretation, no other obvious spiritual gifts. The uproar of that one tongues and one interpretation was huge, to the point that the faculty of the Bible college had to have behind closed doors discussions to decide what to do about it. It nearly split the college. And for the few of us who loved that sort of thing, we're going, more? And those who had never heard of it, we're going, whoo! And those who were on the wrong side of the coin said, oh, I can do that too. And your question was, well, why don't you? But I was at that college. I had to write a thesis in my final year. My thesis I chose in a non-charismatic style type church who would have been quite cessationist in that they believed that the gifts of the Spirit had ended and didn't believe in the Ephesians 5 four gifts for today, the five gifts for today, I wrote my thesis on the role of the apostle and prophet in the 21st century church. I like to be a bit controversial, if you didn't know that already. I'm getting all, you know, I'm missing Jean at this moment. You know Jean? Yeah, she would heckle me. She probably is right now. But you know, I wrote a thesis of theory. And then a book came out, not in America, Canada, but in the UK, that Terry Virgo wrote. And I read it, and I realized how much of my thesis was wrong, and that actually what I was looking for was not a theory out there, but something that was working on the ground. And that was a group of churches who embraced the fivefold ministry, who wanted to see the body released, but its core and heart was planting churches that impacted the nation and the nations. And so with an 11-week-old baby, no job, in the middle of recession, and a degree in theology, which is really helpful when you're looking for a job in the regular world, in the middle of recession, we moved to Brighton, a city we'd never been to a church we'd never been to, but something captivated my heart. And from that point, God put church planting into my spirit. And from the day we arrived in Brighton till the day we left Brighton, I burned with planting churches. That flame has dwindled. And that's not good. I like to be honest with you. There's no use preaching if I'm not going to be honest with you. We've done church planting. It was the hardest time of our life. It was the biggest challenge we ever have and probably ever will face. And there was a time when I said to God, never again. It would not be easy if he said, do it again. But we would. We would. Because there's got to be something in this. I believe every Christian should feel a passion for church planting. And if we have not instilled a passion for church planting within you, then we have not fulfilled our role as a leadership to its fullest extent. And so today, hang on to your seats. Because I want to try and stir that, not just a thought, but something deep into your spirit. Something that stirs you in prayer, in time, in purpose, and in destiny. There, as I said, there was a time when every young believer was thinking about being challenged to go and plant. When I arrived in Brighton, every young man, every young woman that I spoke to had a desire to either be full-time in the church or going on a church plant. And they were going off all over the place. There were church plants sprouting. There were more church plants than there were established churches. There were more people moving to the craziest places and doing the most foolish things that you could ever think of because something in their spirit was, we have a message of truth and we've got to get it out there. And this nation is desperate to hear the truth. And there was a theology behind it that said it's not good enough just to send one, but there must be the many. And it must be his church. Every conference that I went to, there was a call at some point in the conference. Who's going to go? And literally hundreds would throng to the front and fill the aisles. I'm going to ask how many of you ever responded to one of those calls. And put your hands up high if you ever one of those that responded. Okay? You did, Anise? What's on your agenda? Yeah. Come on. What's on your agenda, you two? You're moving to London. Why? Because there's a good job to go to? Got a house to move to? Because there's a great church that you can just become part of the family of? Or because they're a church planting church? They're a church planting church. Mike would applaud this. He says, contemporary culture can sometimes be seen to value youth over experience. I'm going to classify you as still youth. Compared to me, you are still youth. And some of you will know that this couple are moving to London, and it's ridiculous. There's no other word that describes it. Well, there probably are. Stupid. Outrageous. Maybe ridiculous, but it's God. And he tends to do that sort of thing. He really does tend to do that sort of thing. And you can classify them. Who would classify them as young? Come on. Thank you. Yes, we are this colored-haired generation, many of us. We would classify them as young. You think you're safe. It's the young who go and plant churches. It's those that don't have a lot of responsibility like kids. Oops, how many have you got? Three. Who don't have mortgages? Oh, hang on. How much more are the houses up there than here? It's those who can easily pick up and go. Do you know? If you're over the age of 50, listen carefully. And if you're like me, over the age of 50 and have a bit of a hearing problem, I'll say it loud enough for you to hear it, okay? You with me, John?
Yeah.
Yep. It says, contemporary culture can sometimes be seen to value youth over experience. But I'm not sure it should be like that in church. After all, who better to go with teams to plant churches than those with time through retirement, money through pensions, and wisdom through life? All of a sudden, it's not just them. It's us, and it's me. I want to give you a little quiz. I'm a teacher. I can do that sort of thing. Pop quiz. Are you ready? I don't think you will be. I guarantee you, you will not find this particularly comfortable. You ready? Here's our self-diagnostic about church planting. Have you ever been involved in or seriously considered being part of a church plant? Or moved because of a church, not job or family or place first? If not, you have missed part of everyone's calling. Yes, everyone's. Have you ever considered it? Or done it? And I don't mean considered that in, oh, church planting. Nope, that's not us. That's not considering. That's called ruling out before considering. So if you have never actually considered it, thought about it, and said, what about me? What about us? Could we? Should we? You're missing a big part of the purpose of relational mission, a way of life, and what we need to be as a people. Two, are you now actively supporting a church plant, praying regularly, visiting, communicating, or giving to a church plant? On the wall back there is a map. On that map are loads of pictures. Those are real people from our relational mission family who right now are planting churches all over the place and struggling with loneliness and jobs and isolation and difficulty and culture changes and language barriers and children who don't want to be there and every other thing that you can face. Now, if you're part of relational mission staff, I do not want you to answer this question, but I would like you to count on one, or if you need to, two hands, how many of those couples or people you could name or tell me where they are. Shall I be honest? I can only give you two. Two couples. Because I don't spend my time looking at that. I spend my time looking here. But it's not good enough for me. I need to spend some time back there studying that board, praying about it. Because they, on our behalf, are answering the go. Actually, they've gone. Why? Because all authority in heaven and earth is his. And he's given a command to go. Doesn't mean you have to go. But are you praying? Are you giving? Are you writing? Are you contacting? I said to you that I had a strange encounter this morning. I sent Vlada a text fairly early this morning, knowing that he's an early riser. About wanting to go out and visit. And it's a challenge for me to get out there because of school holidays and things. You might think, oh, you get lots of holidays, but they don't really work very easily for getting out to Serbia, when the flights are and when you need to be back and all those sorts of things. And the one weekend that I thought, oh, that'll really work because I'm not in school on the Friday. I can go Friday through to maybe Monday or Tuesday. Vlad is not there. Hooray. So I sent him a message this morning, said, what about sometime in the summer? Or what dates? And I sent him a message using a FaceTime messenger, put the phone in my pocket, and all of a sudden I heard, one in the world, I pulled out. And as I put the phone in my pocket, I'd obviously hit the call button on Facebook. I was now FaceTiming him, of which I quickly hung up because I didn't want to either wake him up, although they are an hour later than us, or disturb him in the middle of his church service. I didn't disturb him. Less than 30 seconds later, and it's Vlada calling me. So I had a chat with Vlada this morning. And you know what I thought? Why don't I do that more often? Why don't I? In seconds, I had his face on my phone. And we were having a face-to-face chat with a good friend of mine. And it was so simple. And it began to stir things back into my heart, into my thinking. Are you actively involved? Not passively. Not involved just because you're part of a church or a group of churches it is. But remember, church is us as individuals. What are you doing? What am I doing to get church planting into my warp and woof? Are you disappointed in any way that ACC has not been on the forefront of church planting for many years, either by intentional planting or by sending? Does that bring any sense of disappointment to you whatsoever? It did to me. It actually did to me. Thinking back to the most active church plant that I've been involved with from here is Serbia. And that's a lot of years ago now. And we've kind of been involved in other things. North Walsham was planted, came back and was planted again. And the history of our church is we've been involved in lots of church plants, but it's quite historical. And it's time for us to get that stirred into our spirits again. Not something we've done, but something we're doing. Something we are intentional about. Does your mind say that Tim and Anise are being foolish? To a certain extent, yes. But foolishness has lots of different definitions. Foolishness is, it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it anyways. Because God has said. The gospel is foolishness to those who don't know it. So there's nothing wrong with being foolish if God's on your side. But if you actually think, no, they're crazy, this is just wrong, you need to think again. You need to say, God, you said go, and they're going. I should be excited about this. In fact, I should be disappointed that it's them and not me. Where next? What's possible? I'm not too old. I'm not too young. Am I ready? If we announced that we were looking to send 10, 15, 20 of our best to plant a church in, and I just pulled some names out of the hat, Wroxham, or Fakenham, or Wells, or Stalham, or Taverham, or Hunstanton, or Swaffham, or Bucharest, or KwaZulu-Natal, how would you react? Yeah. No, think. Look around. 15 or 20 of us. So that whole block gone. They're not here anymore. They're not part of us. But hang on, we've got that faith budget. How in the world would we meet that if we lost them? What do you mean lose them? You don't lose people to church planting. You invest people in church planting. We invest time, money, prayer, activity, support, heart, encouragement, tears and laughter. They're all part of the investment that we make into church planting. And I truly believe if we invest heavily into the expansion of the gospel through church planting, God will pour out his blessing upon us in ever-increasing measure. You never, ever, ever lose by being obedient to what God calls us to do. We need to establish some supply lines as well. We can get intentional. How? By Skype, FaceTime them, or write to them. Go on, this week, make contact with Vlad and Sonia. Make it to the point where they're going, oh no, not more from ACC calling us. We've got other things to do. He said, I've never done that before. I wouldn't even know how to do that. I'll tell you what, ask me, I'll help you. Ask Peter, he'll do it with you. Come into the office, we'll sort it out. They don't know I said that. They'll love it. They haven't got anything else to do anyways. Do you, Karen? You say nothing. But how about, how many of you have ever received an unexpected note or letter of encouragement? Then just think about that feeling. It's good, isn't it? Well, how about blessing them with that? Yeah? Thank you. I was going to ask you to bring some of those. And so here we have some cards. On these cards are different church plants all over. You don't even have to put the address on them. There'll be some details on the boards back there. Probably for all of these? For many of them anyways. You can write an encouragement. If you can't afford the stamp, bring it into the office. We will afford it for you. They're in the foyer. Grab some before you go. Become intentional with that. Surprise and bless them. Surprise and blessing. Why have I got niece sent a stick of gum up there? When I moved to England, I moved with intention. I came over before I met Chris. I'd met her but didn't really know who she was. That wasn't the intention for moving over. It was his intention, not mine. And I've been here about 4 or 5 months, and my niece, who's about 3-4 years younger than me, sent me a little note, and in it she included one stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. And she said, missionaries need little encouragements. Do you know I remember that? I'm not sure I can remember any of the other letters that I got. Not like that. Something small, something unexpected, and it stuck with me. I don't still have that stick of gum, but I enjoyed it, and it made my day. Pray for them. We've got enough prayer times. There's one coming soon to a church near you. There will be a coach, yes? Parked in that car park out there with some empty seats on it. I would love to see that coach full. Can I say to Elshin Community Church, for those who regularly go to enough, well done. Because when they start wrapping up at about 10:45, it was 11:45, and you look around, there is a high percentage of people left that are getting on our coach to come home. Well done. Let's do better. If you weren't thinking of going to enough, how about change your thinking? Why? Because we will be relational on a mission together and we'll be praying for church plants and the nations. And as Mike said, if that's not at the heart of who we are, we're missing a big thing about who we should be. Get a seat on that couch. They'll be doing a meal. If you just want a cheap meal out, an evening out, you won't get much cheaper and the meal won't be much better than what you get there. Even if you decide to come along, eat the meal, and then scamper off into Norwich somewhere, That's better than staying at home. Don't tell anybody I said that. Because once you've started to eat, and once you've got part of the relationship, and once you've got some began to feel the buzz that there is, you will want to stay, and you will want to pray, and you will get involved. It's almost impossible not to. Visit them. Ooh, that's a big one. That would take a lot of time and a lot of money. It's not actually that expensive. It doesn't take that much time. But you can say, well, what have I got to offer? Can you smile? Can you shake hands? Can you wield a paintbrush? Can you drink coffee? Can you eat? Do you like a cold brew? Do you like ice cream? Do you like just chilling? Well, there's a visit. Long time ago now. 9 years. 9 years ago, Chris and I decided to go and visit. Matt said, can I come along? That's our little Matt in the middle. He's now married, moving back to Norwich in a few weeks' time. Chris and I were going. And then some others said, oh, you're going. Could we come along? Well, okay, as long as it's all right with Blada. Blada, how many can we bring? As many as you want. We ended up with a mini coach. There, I forget what there was, about nearly 20 of us, I think, in the end, that ended up going. You may not be able to see all that's there. There's a very young Martin in there. And there's a very young Irena in there. They're now married, living in North Walsham, part of one of our church plants. It's come out of one of our church plants. Irena became a Christian in one of our church plants. One of their key young men out there, I was looking for the picture this morning, a Peter, tall in his black. And Milos, who's been here, short, completely in a white suit. The contrast couldn't... He became a Christian while we were there. I'm not saying pat us on the back. That's us. We facilitated that. There are believers in Serbia serving the kingdom and seeing others saved and their lives changed because we had, and we still have in our DNA, church planting. I talked about food and drink. You get lots of it. Who's been to Serbia? Who's enjoyed the food and drink? Yeah, Keith's even smiling at that one. There's a nice young picture of them. Vlada looked a little bit older in the picture this morning on my phone. But they don't look too worn out or weary. Yes, they've had their hard times. Church planting is not easy. Chris and I have the scars and the memories, but we have the joys and the wonders of it as well. Others have moved. There are people sitting in this room because they moved here because of intention to be involved in a church that was planting churches. And they're still here. Does that mean they got it wrong? No, they came because they were part of who we are. They're not going to Serbia. But that might actually be easier. Honestly, it could be. It'd be cheaper. You'd be able to buy probably half of Niche for what you might have to pay for a little house where you're going. But they're going because they have a desire to start some new families. Ephesians 3, 7 to 12. It is of this gospel that I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given. Why? To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. The mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. The mystery of the gospel because of Jesus through the church, through you and through me. I thought it was interesting as Bridget was reading the psalm out this morning. It was Psalm 96. And part of it said, shout the news of his victory from sea to sea. Tell everyone the news of his wonder. Tell it to one and to all, to every nation. That is at the heart of who we are. A way of life, starting new families. I'd just like to share something that I believe God asked me to share with you this morning. I told you I always do things a little bit different. This is my chainsaw. Yeah, I heard health and safety. Pip, could you come here for a second, please? Now, I've asked Pip to come because Pip has one of those gardens that I would love to have. Yes, there are times that I am jealous of other people, and one of them is his garden. Pip, you have one of these.
I do.
You do. How big of a logs have you cut with yours? But, yeah? And you've got lots of them chopped up in a nice thing. Mm-hmm. What do you think of my chainsaw?
It's not bad.
Yeah? What about the make?
It's a good make. It's a bit old, but it's a good make.
Yeah. It's a bit like me. Okay. Yeah. I changed that for a chainsaw that would have cost about £60 brand new from one of these, you know, buy it in a box, take it home, and...
Yeah? I'd rather this one.
Why?
It's bigger and more powerful.
Bigger and more powerful. So that's a good chainsaw?
Yeah.
Yeah? A good solid one? Okay. Thank you. You can go sit down. What was that? Somebody out there was doing something? Now, I got to remember how it works. Oh, it's jammed. It's not going to start for me this morning. How many are disappointed? No. Maybe next time. Anyways, you get the idea. If you had a tree to cut down, who would want me to come and help? If it was running. Ed, how big was the tree that you wanted to cut down? About that big. Probably about the size of my slightly less muscle. Were you happy to have my chainsaw? Why? Because you're useless with a chainsaw? Because it was blunt. Chainsaw is probably about 20, 25 years old. It's a good make. I did start it up this morning in the garden. Runs brilliantly, usually. It's probably out of petrol. Problem is, chain's as dull as can be. Looks good. If I'd started it, you would have heard it sounds great. But when it comes to action, it's dull because it hasn't been taken care of. I would much rather have Pip's chainsaw. He actually showed me how to sharpen it. I've sat in his workshop while he sharpened his. He'd be a foolish man to tackle even the smallest stump with that. I did warn you, didn't I? I did warn Ed that it could be very dull, because the previous person who used it probably dulled it. I won't blame him. How sharp are we? Do we make all the good noises? Are we made of a good quality? Yes. But how sharp are we on this? Let's stand together. To be part of church planting is being part of a fast-running whitewater river. It is being part of a people who are willing to move around in a boat and see that boat change from being a soft punt to being a whitewater raft. This is who, not who we might become or even should become. This is who we must become. This is why some have and some will leave us. Some because they want to be part of an intentional church. Some because they don't want to sit in a window and be nice. Some because they don't want to be a chainsaw that looks and sounds good but doesn't really do anything. And some will go because they have a heart for planting. Some will stay because they have a heart for planting. And they will support by praying, giving, sharing, standing with, visiting now and again. But most of all, they'll be part of who they are. They want to be in part of an intentional, sharp, dangerous, in-your-face church plant. We want to reach people. We want to see people restored. And we want to see people released. Not just here, but maybe all the way to Timbuktu, to the south of Africa, to the ends of the earth. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Plant churches. I'm going to ask you just for 2 minutes. As I said to Vlada this morning, we will pray for you this morning. And he said, we will pray for you this morning. If you don't know who Vlad and Sonia are, they're a lovely couple, city of Niš, about 350,000 people, but 100 believers in the whole of that city. Boy, are they on the front line. Just where you are now, will you take a moment to pray for them?